Good morning, Vanderhoof Baptist. It's May 3rd, 2020. Once again, I'm preaching to you from my home office. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, the last portion of the verse says, "Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." That's the title of my sermon this morning. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Over 14 years ago, I used to work shift work at the chemical plant where I'm currently an electrician. So on this shift work, I would regularly switch back and forth to either working 12-hour days or 12-hour nights. And I remember during this season of my life, when I worked shift work, I think I did it for a little over 12 years. And at one point, I remember one particular individual, his first name was Dana. I remember him transferring off our shift. He was a little bit of a cut-up, often goofing off, tempting to get others to join in with him. When he was around, usually someone ended up laughing. Often all of us did. I didn't really realize how much he affected our unit, our group. I think at that time, our shifts were much larger. I think at that time we may have had somewhere between 15 to 18 people on shift. And this one guy, when he left, there was a marked difference in the attitude of the whole shift. I wasn't the only one that missed him and noticed that. Again, I left shift work 14 years ago. I wonder what it was like with the shift that I left. What would your coworkers or family or neighborhood think if you were removed? Would they notice a change in the attitude of the group? If you have your Bibles with you this morning and you'd like to turn with me, my main text comes from Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be reading verses 13 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Let's pray. Father, guide us to give glory to your name. We thank you for your precious love and compassion towards us. Help us to respond in like manner towards those around us. Lord, there's much going on in our life today, in our world today, that we don't understand. But praise God, we serve you, and you do know. You are already there. You're already in our tomorrows and into our next weeks. Guide us to make decisions to bring peace into our own lives, as well as peace into the lives of those in our communities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again in verse 13, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." Salty snacks are often what I reach for between meals, as well as after meals and before them. One of my absolute favorites is popcorn, and I'll eat it just about any way that it's made. But my favorite way is simply on top of the stove with a little bit of oil. Years ago, in an attempt to make popcorn healthier, some smarty pants has come up with a way to pop it with hot air. So when the popcorn comes out of the popper, that's what it tastes like. Hot air. Without the oil, the salt just won't stick to it. And without salt, I would be quick to give up eating my favorite snack. In addition to be used as a flavor booster, salt is also used as a preservative. I can imagine the preservative nature was its primary use in the first century. Again, remember, this was before refrigeration. My mother-in-law has told me about how her father used to hang beef in a shed and keep a coat of salt over it. And he'd go out from time to time and cut off a slab for the evening dinner. Then he would cover up that section with more salt. We find lots of salt being used in our canned and boxed foods in grocery stores today. This is so that they can sit on your shelves for a long time. Salt preserves the food. Jesus is telling all of his followers that they are to be salt of their communities. When we choose to live in such a way that honors him, can you see that we can help pull the community, the family, our neighbors, our workplaces closer to God? We could also see saltiness as being something that drives a thirst in others, helping guide them to want to serve God. Take a moment and picture yourself being pulled out of the daily lives of those around you, in your homes, in your workplaces, in your communities. How would the atmosphere change? If the mineral we call salt has lost its saltiness, it no longer has value. It no longer can do what it was designed to do. Now, Matthew chapter 5 here, Jesus gives us a second metaphor. He speaks of salt, and here he also speaks of light. Back in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 again. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house." So along with being salt, Jesus adds, "You are the light." Those of you who proclaim to follow God, those of you who proclaim to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "You are the salt. You're also the light." And with this metaphor, notice he adds something. With salt, he's just stating the action of the object itself. Salt brings preservation. Salt brings flavor. But with light, he adds something. You notice here that he speaks of the action of God concerning this light. God is doing the directing of the light. Seems the older I get, the brighter the light needs to be for me to see, especially when I read. I need lots of light. I used to wonder why the older generation of the church often were concerned about driving at night, sometimes choosing to not drive after it gets dark. Now I understand why. I'm no optometrist. I can't explain why it's true, but I have experienced it. I want to share two things with you this morning about light. Light is, of course, used to help us see things. I turn on a lamp at night in order to see. I turn on the headlights on my car so that I can see the objects in front of me and the road. So Jesus asks the rhetorical question, would you light a lamp and cover it with a basket? No, he says, you set it on the stand so that everyone in the house can gain value from it. And you see, God is attempting to utilize you in your communities, in your families, in your workplaces to bring light. I would say he's placed you there for that very purpose. Light also displaces darkness. I remember being scared often in the dark as a child. And really, I didn't think about it at the time. But now I understand it's the unknown that's scary. Regardless of your age, it's the unknown things in our life that can make us uncomfortable, that can make us anxious. When spending time outside, especially in the country, where there are no street lights, the dark can drive your imagination. How different is to walk in the woods in the middle of the night compared to the day? Those rustling leaves behind you can stir up an imagination when you can't see who or what's making the noise. How different it is when you can simply turn around and see what's stirring the leaves. Has anybody noticed that the squirrel is about one of the loudest of the woodland creatures when he walks? I don't know, maybe even ground squirrels are worse than squirrels. They're so noisy. But hearing those rustling leaves behind you at night can create anxiety. Again, it's the unknown. Jesus says that God has placed his chosen people in the world to bring light, to help lessen this anxiety, to help bring a calmness in the midst of the storms of this light. No, he doesn't necessarily give us transparency to always understand fully everything that's going on or what the future holds. Some of those things he has and he keeps to himself. But those of us who trust in him have faith that he has those things in his hands. And through that, we can find some sense of comfort, some sense of peace, a calmness in our own lives, so that we can in turn help bring calmness in the lives of those around us. Of course, Jesus is the ultimate light. John the Apostle calls him the light in his gospel in chapter 8. But you see, we become the light, or a part of this light, as we reflect his light in our lives, as we choose to live a life that brings honor to his name. And Jesus adds, again in the last verse of our main text, he says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Just in the same way as a light stand is set up on a lighted hillside brings light to the valley, brings light to the house. God has placed you in your homes, in your workplaces, in your communities with the intent for you to bring light. And you can see Jesus here saying that this is done in such a way. Yes, it brings value to your own life, but ultimately it is to bring value and bring glory to our Father who is in heaven. All of what we do is meant to bring glory to God. It is to bring attention to the name of Jesus rather than our name. This is what we were designed for. This is what our purpose is. Let me read to you something Jesus says about those who are his. I'll give you a minute if you want to look in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, we're going to read beginning in verse 34. Matthew 25. Verse 34. Jesus is speaking of the end time, of what it might look like when we gather before him in heaven, when this life is over for us. And he says, verse 34, then the king shall say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Those of you who have put your faith in Jesus Christ are on the right. And he says, come to me, blessed ones. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you. And then he goes on and he talks about the activities of those individuals who this kingdom is prepared for. He says, verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous, again, those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? They seem surprised that the king is saying, these are things you did. When did we do this, Lord? Verse 38, and when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Can you see that these individuals who were the salt, these individuals who were the light, weren't going around and keeping a ledger of all of the things that they were doing to praise themselves as they were doing what they were designed to do, as they were going about bringing flavor, bringing preservation, bringing light into their communities. As they were doing what they were designed to do, they naturally brought value to the communities that they lived in. Jesus here is saying that many of the things that they did, they didn't even quite realize what they were doing. It was just part of who they were. They were salt. They were light. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ this morning, I want you to understand you are salt. You are light, and God has placed you where you are with a purpose. Notice in the beginning he talked about salt being useless once it's lost its flavor. You see, salt and light are a couple of things that are inanimate. In a sense, they have no control. They're just doing what they're designed to do, irregardless of... In other words, they can't make any choices. We were created in His image, and one of the aspects of being created in His image is we have choices. And even after we have put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we still can choose day by day to be the salt and to be the light. My question for you this morning is, have you lost your saltiness? Again, unlike the foodie ingredient, you can regain your saltiness. You can improve your saltiness. Do you sense maybe that the light within you has been dimmed? Look to God to brighten it up. That's what He's created you for. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love, Your mercy, Your grace, Your patience with us. Lord, help each of us, those who call upon Your name, to take a moment and just ask where we fit in this big world that we live in. Help us to see where and how we can bring about the light and the salt in our communities. Lord, I pray, guide us so that when the time comes that we're removed, that others will notice a difference. But most importantly, Lord, what they will think about us is not about how great we were, but that how great You are and how You guided us into living in a way that brings honor to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.